I've got T-Bird here. No suspicious smells emanating from his engineering perch at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. And it is officially the slowest local sports day of the year. It has always been that way, in my opinion. The Thursday after the All-Star game, I think they used to once in a while squeeze in a Major League game or two, but I always remember it being Friday that the game started back up. The Thursday, the day after MLB's All-Star game, is as slow as it gets in local American sports. There's no basketball, unless you're one of those absolute sickos who's watching the NBA Summer League. There's no hockey. That endless season and preseason still hasn't gotten started yet, surprisingly. There's no football. Camp is next week. There is, of course, no baseball. We just played the All-Star game, and we saw it decided by a swing-off, which, if you bet the National League minus one and didn't get paid out on, somebody mentioned that that happened to them. Not here, necessarily. Not here, but, like, elsewhere. If you got paid out on American League plus 1.5 because they lost a swing-off, wouldn't you pay everybody out on National League minus one? That's one for smarter people than I who run all those online apps to answer, because that's apparently where it happened, one of them, I was told. The person who told me did not want to name the place. I don't know why. Maybe they thought I'd be dumb enough to name the app on this show. All I know is that it wasn't here, but this person has been battling about this. That's neither here nor there. Rivers Casino Sportsbook is a very good place to be for me today, though, because there are, I don't know, 6 or 7 TVs here in the sportsbook that, as far as I can tell, have the Open Championship on. And while that is my favorite event in golf, and while it will inspire other parts of this show, I am not the kind of guy who just projects everything that I like onto everybody else and forces them on this show to listen to me pontificate about Lynx Golf, about Firm Turf, about Royal Port Rush, things of that nature, about seaside links, about wind, about rain, about the way golf should be played, etc. I'm not going to be the guy pontificating. Instead, today, on the slowest day of the sports calendar, I want to do something different. I want to borrow a page from, I guess, technically politics, and I want to deliver a few state of the team addresses here. And I think it's a ripe time. We all get to sit, decompress for a day before games start back up for the Pirates. Camp starts next week for the Steelers. That'll kick things into a much higher pitch as Aaron Rodgers will be starting his presumably one and only season with the Steelers. Things will start to move quickly again. Very quickly, actually, in late July. But in mid-July, not a whole hell of a lot going on, at least today. Nothing to react to, really. Nothing other than the usual churn of kind of random storylines to report. And so I want to do a state of each professional team in town. State of the Union style. I want to give you guys a chance at 412-928-9370. That's the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I want to give you a chance to sound off and give your state of the team feelings. One for each in town. Pirates, Penguins, Steelers. To stop, to take stock midway through a Pirates season that's almost at the trade deadline, before a Penguins season that I think is going to be unlike many we have seen in Penguins history, and before a Steelers season that feels more than anything like a very high-profile transitional period, I think it's time to sound off on where we feel like, broadly speaking, all three of these professional teams in town currently reside. What their current, a status check, a wellness check. Where are they? Where are they headed? Where have they been? What are they exactly doing? So I dive in thusly and encourage you, 412-928-9370, especially once you've heard what I had to say, because we're going to do one of them per hour. What I've had to say about these teams, if you think I'm off the mark, tell me. I start with the Pirates because they are the one team that is actually playing right now. They are the team actually playing baseball games. They have been losing a lot of baseball games until they broke a big eight-game skid. That was right on the heels, of course, of a six-game winning streak where they looked like the 27 Yankees. They have come crashing back down to earth and are approaching the last major interesting signpost on this season's journey. That is the trade deadline. My thesis statement with the Pittsburgh Pirates is this. The blessing has become a curse. It took 35 to 37 starts for Paul Skeens, whatever the number is. I didn't even look before the show. It took less than a season and a half, really, of starts for the blessing to become a curse. We've seen what it looks like when you draft in this town the Golden Goose, and then you make the Golden Goose start laying golden eggs for you. We've seen it. We know what it looks like. It's awesome. The Penguins have three cups to show for their Golden Goose. Five if you count Mario Lemieux as the original Golden Goose. The team has been on a nearly uninterrupted run for 40 years of elite offensive players coming through town. The best in the world, more or less uninterrupted for 40 years. From Lemieux to Yager to a very small bump in the road to Crosby to Malkin, when Malkin was at times maybe the best player in the world, having a better year than Sid. The Penguins made the Golden Goose lay eggs. They also knew that in the form of Sidney Crosby, given the way that their sport is structured, coming out of a lockout, the establishment of a salary cap, they also knew, did the Penguins, that they were never going to have to worry as long as they won enough and produced enough money and merchandise. And they didn't really have to worry too much about that either, because we know who the guy was who was owning the team at the time. They knew that they weren't going to have to worry about keeping their Golden Goose. They could be patient. They had the luxury to be patient. They weren't patient. They went out and tried to get it. And we saw the results. The Pirates, on the other hand, were always going to have a limited amount of time with Paul Skeens. And they have not shown that level of urgency. The Pirates, from the second they drafted this player, from the second he came up, from the second he became a phenomenon, which is essentially synonymous with him coming up to the big leagues, the clock was ticking. Deadline spur action. Got to get something going. They haven't. They've spoken about it, for sure. They've talked about it as a franchise. They've talked about urgency. They've talked about crucial years. They've talked about Pittsburgh craving a winner. They've said many different times, even the owner, in words we've rarely seen him use, they've said things that I think have made it seem, since Paul Skeens got to Pittsburgh, like they understand the assignment. But we know that actions speak louder than words, and their actions were to bring in guys like Tommy Pham this offseason, guys like Adam Frazier, who's already been traded this offseason, players who underwhelmed, and that's to put it kindly. Given the stakes, given what they had, given what they had on the way with a guy like Bubba Chandler and others, as disastrous an offseason as you could possibly conceive. And I think the biggest problem right now facing the Pirates is that their owner looks like a man caught in between. Bob Nutting looks like a guy caught in between, unsure of what he wants really to do, unsure of what he wants or how he wants to go about doing it. He seems like a guy who we don't hear from very much, but you can kind of read the tea leaves. Doesn't seem thrilled with the general manager he hired 6 years ago. Doesn't seem thrilled with how Ben Cherington has stewarded this franchise or steered this franchise since he took over. But in the same breath, he seems like a guy reluctant to make the ultimate rip off the Band-Aid move, i.e. firing that general manager, because he's worried about what might come next. Is the person I hire going to want to rebuild this thing? is the person I hire going to want to trade Paul Skeens because, for their purposes, that's the best way to do the job the right way? And so we get half measures from the owner. An outlay of money this offseason that perhaps reflected a lack of faith in the GM. A decision to keep the manager and keep the general manager after a pretty awful finish to last year. A green light to the general manager to fire the manager barely 40, or not even 40 games into the season this year. And then mostly silence at that point. The GM, who I don't think anybody outside of maybe his own immediate circle thinks is doing a good job, is going to be allowed to run the trade deadline. There are very few hitting prospects in the organization to speak of. That's the general manager's purview. It has way less to do with ownership and payroll than the major league roster does. There are pitchers galore right now, including, for my money, the best in the game. And yet you have precious little in the way of hitting. And it has undercut a season already. It has cost you year two of Paul Skeens and turned it into a disaster. It is looming and threatening to cost you seasons three, four, and whatever else might remain of Paul Skeens. What Bob Nutting, what we want to see him do in this town, I think collectively, is never going to be done the way anyone wants it to be. That being spend, I don't know, 130 most years, 150 in years where they really think they can go for it. It's just not going to happen. I don't know about anybody listening to this, but I certainly have divorced myself from that as sort of a possibility. You might say, well, Chris, you're missing the whole point. I have to dance with the facts as I know them or with what I have seen. So absent that, what Bob Nutting, I think, would have to do now is decide to chart a course. Are you going to be serious or are you not going to be serious? Are you going to take bold action, work in bold strokes, or are you not going to do that? You somehow have, because your GM and your scouting department made the right decision, the best pitcher in the sport. You have more pitchers who should be on the come up pretty soon. You have, by and large, what is most expensive to acquire and what is generally hardest to acquire on reasonable lockdown right now. You have frontline starting pitching. You actually, your people, as bad as they have been, it would be like taking a test, getting the hardest question right, and getting the rest of them dead wrong. Your people have figured out a way to ace, or close to it, the hardest part of the question, the hardest part of the test. The hard part is figured out. The question for Bob Nutting is, are you going to do anything to build on it, even if that means letting somebody else do the building whose name isn't Ben Cherington, or are you not? The phone number is 412-928-9370. My state of the Pirates, the blessing has become a curse. Now what? That's what I think it sums down to in one or two sentences. All right, it's the PM team, and we're live from the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. I've got Open Championship on multiple televisions here. Life is good. I will be ranking in the PM team power rankings the best major championship venues in golf, which might, Donnie, not be your cup of tea, but I feel like has the potential to enrage at least some segment of our listener base. It will certainly be provocative, to put it mildly. That is in about an hour and 10 minutes. Jason Mackey will join the show in about 15 minutes. Meanwhile, since it's the slowest sports day of the year, since it's a day where you're kind of kicking your feet up and taking a look around the headlines and probably not seeing a whole lot of anything necessarily, it was a day I decided to, I don't know if I'm putting on my introspective hat or not, I just wanted to take the old 30,000-foot view of all the local teams and kind of level set where we are at, a state of the team type of address. I just gave mine. I've tried to neatly package these with a thesis statement for each one of them. And for the Pirates, it was very simple. The blessing has become a curse. Now what? They have shot themselves in the foot. The proof is in the numbers in the win-loss record, despite Paul Skenes holding up his end of the bargain. Now what are they going to do? And the owner's indecisiveness in terms of not deciding to move on from his general manager, I think, has been a major part of the issue and will continue to be because said GM does not appear, as of right now, to be going anywhere. So let's get out to you guys, 412-928-9370. And we'll start with Guy in Oakmont. Hey, Guy.
Chris, how are you?
Good.
And thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy the drive home show. So I'm going to have 2 points. First of all, it's a culture of mediocrity. It's not that he's indecisive. This is by plan. And we're just a town that has to look at our professional baseball team as a form of entertainment only. It's not going to be competitive. And it's a 3 times a year. You take your family to the ballpark on a beautiful day. You enjoy the perks and you go home. To attract a season ticket base that's going to really enjoy just garbage baseball day in and day out and spend a lot of money, you're not going to get it until the product gets better. And he hasn't shown that yet.
I have a question for you, Guy. So fair points all around that right now it feels like kind of an entertainment product and not a serious one as far as competitiveness. Bob Nutting was the owner when the team in 2013 went 94-68. He was the owner the next year when the team went 88-74. By the way, they had almost a quarter million attendance jump year over year there. It was about 200,000, actually. He was still the owner in 2015 when the team put 2.5 million butts in seats. You compare that with what their attendance looks like now, and I don't think I need to tell you that the attendance is way, way down from those bigger years for the Pirates. Don't you think, then, that he would be motivated, having seen what it did in 2013 through 15, what a competitive, very good baseball team did, to say, wait a minute, that's actually better for business for me. I got to keep striving towards that.
Yeah, but the game has also changed, right? So you're what, 15 years later, 12 years later, salaries have skyrocketed. Prima donna athletes have a little bit of a different attitude. Maybe loyalty has changed. So why would you want to take a risk of going into deep pockets and maybe not getting what you just talked about?
Are you defending him? Clearly on the offense against Bob Nutting,
okay.
but what you just said there sounded like a defense of him almost.
Well, maybe so. I mean, if you're a businessman, maybe that's the model that you emulate, but you're not guaranteed, if you're going to spend a ton of money year in and year out, to see those kind of results. And so maybe in the last 15 years he got lucky 3 times.
Guy, I think you just brought up something. Thanks for the phone call. I like a good call that kind of sparks something in my brain that makes me just think of a nice little declarative statement. Here's the paradox in professional sports, but in baseball, I guess especially, where there is no salary cap, there's a soft cap in the form of the luxury tax. But Guy just said something there that resonated with me, Don, and I'll bounce it off you. Here's the paradox. It's a business. It's big business, right? Like, these guys get into the ownership game because the franchise will appreciate in value, and whenever they do decide to sell, what are the Rays selling for, like 1.7 or 1.8 billion? When they do decide to sell, they'll make a pretty penny in the sale. So it is big business in that sense. And yet the best owners are the ones in a big business world who absolutely treat the actual team and the spending on the team like it's something for fun. And so there's a paradox there. The best owners don't care about the big business part of it, even though baseball is a big business.
Yeah, I mean, we had the conversation a little bit the other day, I think. I mean, you brought up Cohen from the Mets. You brought up a handful of others that, like, they're not even really, like, worried about their baseball team from a day-to-day standpoint because it is, to them, just kind of a side gig in a way.
Where do you, by the way, zero out on a Pirates? Like, if I were making Donnie Football give me the Pirates state of the team address and you were coming up with a thesis statement, how would you do that?
I think they're in like a horrible position. They're in a spot where they should have been showing improvement for the last couple of seasons. We got the back-to-back 76 win years, and we go into this year thinking, okay, let's see them bump that up a little bit, and they're going to finish with a win total likely in the 60s and a loss total that is closer to 100 than where you ever want it to be. Like, this season has been a massive failure for them.
A massive failure.
The first full season with Paul Skeens, and this team will finish like 66-96 or something.
That's what Donnie Football says. What about Scott in Beaver Falls? What's up, Scott?
Yeah, I was going to talk about O'Neal Cruz, but you were talking about Nutting in your last segment. Didn't Nutting say a year and 1 month ago last June that we got to get more offense in here? Did he or did he not say that?
He has said a couple of things that have almost run in conflict. He's talked about an urgent need to win. I think in one of the times in his career as the owner, or in his tenure as the owner, Scott, where he sounded the most like a guy who really did care about winning and cared about the product, etc. He's also, I think, said, paraphrasing what you said, which is they need to get more bats. And then early or right before, I think
they
early
got
this
Tommy
season.
Sam.
Well, early this season, he said something to the effect of, and again, I'll paraphrase here, and don't quote me directly on this, but it was, he felt like he had provided the Pirates or provided the team with the resources they needed to be competitive, and at some point it just came down to them performing. So there have been some very contradictory, I think in the case of the last one, very tone-deaf statements that he's made.
Yeah, and a quick question. Does O'Neal Cruz use the heaviest bat in the league?
I do not know, Scott, and thanks for the phone call. I do not know. The only time I have ever paid any attention to the weight of a bat that a guy was using. I'm serious about this, Donnie. Maybe this will jog your memory. I knew for as long as Alfonso Soriano was in the major leagues that he used by far the heaviest bat in the major leagues. He used like a bat that I don't know how he swung it so fast, because I feel like it was multiple ounces heavier than the next heaviest bat in baseball. So I have never paused otherwise to think about somebody in the weight of their bat. I don't know if that Fonzie Soriano reference jogged anyone else's memories. Brian is in McKees Rocks to talk a little more state of the Pirates at the moment. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Chris, Donnie. Good afternoon.
What's up, man?
It's dire, man. I mean, we could talk about Nutting, but I prefer to talk about what a loser Ben Cherington is.
Okay.
If for no other, so there's no core, I guess is what I would say. You know, all the good players that were signed are Huntington's players. And they're falling off a cliff.
You know, I mean, Paul Skeens is a Cherington guy. I hate saying this to you, but like he did, and there was debate, and I was an idiot. I always use myself in this example because I was a person who's an avid follower who gets paid to like watch this stuff.
Yeah.
I wanted Dylan Cruz, so I have to give him at least the smallest of check marks for making the right call between those two LSU players.
As do I. I think that was the right call, and it was not clear cut at the time. I think that the biggest problem with Cherington is that he can't identify hitters, and we're going into another trade deadline where our best trading pieces are pitchers, and I can't sleep at night knowing that this guy's going to trade Mitch Keller and try to identify a hitter. It's boggling to me that you have one side of the ball that is completely misaligned with the pitching staff. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, and there's no confidence that they're going to be able to build a core while Skeens is here. I just don't see that.
I think that's a good take, Brian. I appreciate the call. We're going to revisit this, too, a little bit more. Jason Mackey's going to join next. I'm going to ask him the same question I kind of posed out there. How would you describe the state of the Pirates if you were given that kind of speech? Jason's going to join us next, give his take on that one. But I think the lack of a core part there is a nice way of putting it. How do you have the best pitcher in baseball? How do you have a pretty darn good one in Keller behind him? Heaney even having been more good than bad this year. Chandler on the come up. A guy in Connor Griffin, who I guess Jonathan Mayo went on with Starkey earlier today and said he might be on this team next year midseason. How do you have those basic building blocks, but so little around it that a caller can accurately say there's no actual core in place? That is a damning indictment of the GM and another callback to why I am so frustrated by the owner's inability to decide what he wants to do with the GM. And I think he should have been more decisive, and it would have indicated to me that he had a clear sense of how things were going if Ben Cherington had been shown the door when Derek Shelton was. Live from the Rivers Casino Sportsbook, it is the PM team. Malzy solo today. Hope you're having a good Thursday. Hope you're watching a little golf, potentially. I'm certainly doing that right now at the Rivers Casino. Our guy Bill over here just took care of business. He didn't know Pony was off. The decaf coffees were out for us, the bucket of water. We always get a little parched doing the show. Bill, a stalwart for us down here. They always treat us right. Bill always treats us right at the Rivers Casino. And so it's always good to be down here. He's not a golf guy, though, I discovered, Donnie. Our guy, Bill. I was like, Bill, you gonna go head home now that your day is done and watch a little golf? Not a golf guy by that measure. This is like, I'm a pig in slop right now with this tournament on.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, I'm on Bill's side. You know, I'm not a
I think you're going to get the
expert bug,
though. I think you're going to, maybe not watching it, Don, but I think you have a chance. There's like a puncher's chance that you play in enough of these scrambles. And you sent me something that I'm going to have posted up on Going Low in the coming days. You're going to play in enough of these scrambles. You start hitting a good shot here, a good shot there, not just making putts. I'm telling you, man, you're going to get the bug here. It happens to everybody that starts. Starkey should be like a warning to you that you're going to get into this.
Yeah,
Starkey was the most anti-golf person of all time, and now look at him.
I do not have the addictive gene that I think Joe does possess, though. So I don't think I've ever fallen into it that deep. But, yeah, I mean, I could see myself playing more.
It's also where a lot of business deals get done, Don. Just a thought there. Hey, Mike's Beer Bar's Fan Beer of the Month is New France Brewing's Carnegie Lager, and it supports the Simmons Center for Interstitial Lung Disease. So check that out at Mike's Beer Bar. We're huge fans of Mike, of course. Out to the hotline we go. Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That's where we find Jason Mackey, of course, of the Post-Gazette, and here at 93.7 The Fan. Jason, I'll dive right in. I'm doing a state of every team address in town. Well, the three pro teams at least. And they start with like those collegiate thesis statements. So when you were at Westminster, I'm sure you weren't a guy lazy enough to go, Webster's defines blah, blah, blah as to lead off every paper. If I were going to ask you to make a thesis statement, a state of the Pirates thesis statement, what would it be?
State of the Pirates, Chris, they're very much in transition, I feel like. Not transition to a rebuild, but they need to transition back to what they thought they would be last year and even this year. They're behind. That's another thing I would say. And they're kind of stagnant. I don't understand why they're sticking it out with the general manager. I think they're kind of wasting time, spinning their wheels, however you want to phrase that. But I do expect, I know we'll get into this, the off season to have a little bit more urgency, to have it be busy, whether that means the GM changing or trades or whatever, but they can't stay status quo with this offense. It's just too bad.
Do you think that the owner realizes now, after the off season that they've had and after the lack of results it has yielded, specifically with that offense, do you think that has served as a wake-up call, that I'll put you on the spot here, that is going to spur truly different action and behavior from him in this coming offseason?
Truly different, probably not. But different, yes. And what I mean by that, like, I'm not saying I think Bob Nutting's going to go on a spending spree. I haven't lost my marbles. But, do I think Bob Nutting was happy with how Ben Cherington chose to spend money, i.e. a lot on processes and analytics versus players? No, I don't. And so I think that's going to change. I think within Bob's narrow window of what he views as competitiveness, and I realize like a lot of people on the outside aren't going to agree with that. But yeah, I do think the off season that they had, I don't think he was happy with it. I don't think he's going to allow it to happen again. I don't think it's going to happen with this GM personally. But I do think it's going to result in some different stuff happening, probably more focused on players as it needs to be.
So the way you answered that question, though, you do think Cherington's done after this year. Is that a fair assessment or an interpretation of what you just said? Okay, so
that's correct.
What is your best guess then? Because I know where you stand on like the fact, like just the way you answered, the fact that they've let him stay on the job. Why do you think they have allowed him to stay on the job?
Because they believed that this season, that bringing Cherington back this offseason, you know, he was signed up for 2025. They viewed him coming back as like, you know, he gets to run the draft, he gets to run the deadline. Like when you bring a GM back for this year, you bring him back for the year. Like this year is already kind of lost. So they might as well just sort of cut their losses. I know that's probably a bad term, but, you know, allow him to go through the draft, which honestly, like I get their reasoning that it hasn't been terrible. And what they did this weekend in Atlanta was not terrible. Like, it was reasonable. But you probably temper the moves that he can make at the deadline. I expect that to happen. I don't expect them to do anything major. And it's just, it's almost like an interim, Chris, without having that interim tag. Like, I don't think he's allowed to, you know, go chuck a Hail Mary up there. I think they just say, this season's been a loss. We already signed up for this. We made this bed. We have to sleep in it. And in the off season, you can have a little bit of a more nuanced hire where you bring somebody in. They understand what's going on, you know, because like a lot of GMs, you're going to come in and want to bring in your own manager. You're going to come in and want to change things or blow things up. And Bob doesn't want that. They want to continue with Don Kelly. They want to continue with largely this team, big asterisk here, like, you know, with improvement and having to go find bats. That's obviously a big thing. So not this exact team, but like they don't want to blow it up and they want to get a GM who understands that.
Jason Mackey of the Post Gazette and, of course, 93.7 The Fan as well, joining us right now on the PM team. Jason, I'll play a little game of rapid fire with you on the Pirates, and forgive me, we're not going to have a chance for thesis statements or statements, comma, theses on the Penguins and the Steelers. Perhaps
that's all right, I'll be
what
quick.
I have to say. Yes. Well, no, it's okay, because I just would rather focus on the Pirates right this second. Yes or no answer, and I understand that this is a moving target, obviously, given like the nature of what you're hearing, the people you're talking to. Just yes or no answers on will this player be a Pittsburgh Pirate once the trade deadline dust settles. Here we go. Mitch Keller, yes or no?
Yes.
Key Brian Hayes.
I'm going to go with no, Chris.
David Bednar.
Yes.
Dennis Santana.
Yes.
Andrew Heaney.
No.
Tommy Pham.
No.
Who else am I missing from the frequently discussed pile here? I think I hit all the big ones now.
Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Yes, IKF. I'll just say no for you, correct?
Yeah, thank you. And you can throw Caleb Ferguson into that mix, too.
Toss him into the no bin as well. Do you think what you said earlier about the way they're treating this as sort of an interim period where they don't, you don't think the owner wants them to make any major moves is the main reason Keller's still going to be here?
Yeah, I mean, here's the Keller situation in my mind, that if they got a deal that was overwhelming, that they just had to make, like I think they could make that trade. Now, do I see that deal coming down the pike for them? No, I don't. So, I mean, I think the return they're going to get on Keller is so negotiable, so, you know, not obvious, that I think they're going to end up keeping him. It's not going to be a deal that they end up making.
Jason Mackey, you can hear him often here on 93.7 The Fan, read him in the Post Gazette. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, Chris. Have a good one.